This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Changing their life forever so they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ben Kirk, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mark Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. It's me, Mike Vardy, and I am joined on the podcast today by Ben Kirk, who is known amongst his clients as the Productivity PT. He is a highly sought after productivity and high performance expert. You'll get that through our conversation today. We could have geeked out for far longer about productivity and time management and all that stuff. He's known for his direct approach to helping individuals and businesses achieve their goals. His mantra, do better, be better, win the day, which we do discuss, but we go beyond the day. It encapsulates his philosophy of self-discipline, consistency, and accountability. We get into a whole bunch of stuff. We talk about night owls, early birds. We talk about the idea of reflection and its importance. We talk about accountability and the thing that bugs us most about productivity and how people approach it. We get into all that during our conversation here today. So without further ado, here's my conversation, and a productive one at that, with Ben Kirk. Enjoy. Ben, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today for a productive conversation, one that we will endeavor to keep within the time constraints that we have, because you and I, as I mentioned before we hit record, could go on for hours with the amount of productivity geekery that we could get into.
Yes, we certainly can try, and I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask you the same question that I get asked a lot out of the gate. But I would like you to take a different slant with it. So, the idea of being productive, getting into productivity, you know, people will ask me like, what got you excited? What got you into productivity? What, you know, what lit you up about it that made you pursue a career in it? I want to go a bit of on a different angle with that. And I'm like, well, you've been doing it for a while. What is the one thing that you find continuously frustrated about the world of productivity that your experience has kind of shown you is a misnomer, a problem, or just a mission that you're trying to help people overcome, or a mission that you're trying to help people with so that they can overcome this problem?
Yeah, probably the number one thing is all the new stuff that's coming out all the time about it. Now, I like the new science. I like the new slants on things and understanding. This is how the brain works. This is why we do what we do. But all the different spins that are coming out, all the different bits of software that are coming out, it used to be back in the day, it was planners. And there was a few big name planners, and people would grab their planners, and that was the thing. Yes, we got code. There's also the audio recordings and stuff like that. But as far as things to help you out with your productivity and your planning, and so there's a few big planners, Clovy Planner, et cetera. Now there is an app being released. I don't know if it's every day, but it seems to us like it is. Then now we've got the AI powered apps. Now we've got all this sort of stuff. We've got so many CRMs as well. You know, all these sort of things that are in this same sort of space, or continually being released, continually with new spin, in our faces with our ads. Maybe it's because we're in the productivity space, but it's always there on all of our socials. And they miss the one biggest thing, and that is people having or inputting the right intentions and dedicating the right time to do it. These apps aren't going to help them with that. It's, you know, if you put crap in, you get crap out.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most frustrating thing with it all. And that's why, hopefully, as a coach, I'm able to help people sort of negotiate, navigate their way through that. Yes, I have an app, absolutely. But my app is custom made for the way that I teach and the way that I help people think about their productivity. And it's also not released to the general public and cluttering that space even more.
So when we talk about coaching, because I do some of that as well, do you find that there's a two-step forward, one-step back thing that can happen with people as you're coaching them, especially in the early phases where because there's a lot of deprogramming, I would imagine, that has to happen. At least it does for me to a degree, but like not just along with the problem you just illustrated, but so many misunderstandings and misgivings about what productivity is, managing of time, like all of the, you know, we talked about this just before we record, like the nuances around it. How do you help someone who feels like they want it? Because what they want is they want the progress now. They want it done. Like they want to be done. And the thing is that it's never done. So how do you cultivate that understanding with your clients?
I think that's really how people come to me. I think if people are coming to me completely overwhelmed, then we need to do something like a brain dump and then jump into like an Eisenhower matrix or something like that, just to clear the slate just so they can think a bit more clearly. Sometimes people will come to me and they don't have any clarity on what they actually need to do next.
Right.
So we'll look at some things like the one thing. We might go back to goals. We might look at those sort of areas. But they want to have that perfect routine. They want to have those perfect habits established straight away. And whether it might be a salesperson that wants to get the right habit first thing each day in making their calls or preparing themselves to do their calls, a lot of the time they want to be able to jump straight in and do perfect 20 calls every day regularly because they need to get through 100 calls a week or something. The problem being that they haven't done 20 calls a day for the last, well, ever.
Yeah.
And they just want to jump straight into it. So where do we start? Do we start at 10 calls a day or do we start at 5 calls a day? Do we focus on building a consistent habit first at 5 calls a day and then gradually build that up to 20? Because they're still getting 25 calls a week if they just do 5 regularly a day rather than 20 calls in one day and then letting the whole day crash, or wait and do their 20 calls on a Friday and the first 4 days are just preparing or whatever whatever it is they do, right? Mm-hmm. These sort of things come along. But it's a bit of a daunting one. People so much into that. There's so many elements that we need to get clear first. So often it ends up starting with a bit of motivation, a bit of, hey, look, this is what it could look like, and let's start moving towards that. So there's always going to be that 2 weeks or 3 weeks of a new routine that is that ideal, that perfect routine, and then it crashes. That's
right.
For some reason people get to that, and then we're just going to take it a step back, take it simple. The whole idea of building habits and stacking habits together, take the minimum viable dose, and then let's try now. And then that time around, it tends to continue as a good routine.
It's almost like that story about the frog that, you know, if you try to throw a frog in a boiling water, it jumps out right away. But if you slowly turn up the heat on the water, the frog doesn't even realize the water's happening. Most people want to jump right in and then it just throws them for a loop. And I know it's a bit inverted there. You need to kind of cultivate it. And one of the things you talk, like these ideas of foundations of accountability, like what are some of the core principles or approach that you take? Because, you know, I mean, productivity is very personal, right? Like, I mean, as much as businesses always, you know, business may not always be personal. Productivity always is. I mean, yes, we're working towards objectives, like you said, the 20 calls or the 100 calls per week, but the subjective stuff happens within those calls, right? Like, you know, how I do a call versus you do a call would be very different. So when it comes to your unique approach to, you know, accountability, discipline, like, can you share a little bit about that? Because I think that the flavor of what we do, you know, especially as long as we've been doing it, not only has changed, but it kind of can inform how people progress along their productive path.
Yeah, certainly. So I've been coaching for a fair while now, originally as a personal trainer, and then got into sort of the corporate space, business coaching, executive coaching, and now doing what I do is a bit of a mix of it all, actually. And one thing that seems to keep on coming up is the idea of the weekly review. And I know that you've had David Allen on your podcast, and he has a weekly review sort of process. Maybe I pinched it from him. Maybe I pinched it from Brian Tracy, who I used to work with. Maybe, you know, these sort of things do keep coming in cycles. Mm-hmm. But my weekly review, the idea is to keep it as simple as possible. And we're even taking sort of the idea of the military's after action review.
Right. Yes.
Where let's look at, what are we going to do? What worked? And we're going to keep doing it. What was a problem? And how are we going to fix it? So it's called sustain, maintain, and fix. I don't follow that exactly, but the idea is there is that after we have action, let's have a review, see how we can improve it. If there are obstacles, how can we fix them? And so my weekly review tends to occur on a Friday afternoon or a Sunday morning, depending on what your schedule is like. The way that we do it now is that we have an app where people will go in or look at what I call the six main success markers. Did they win the week? What was their productivity like? What was their routine like? What was their health, sleep, and fitness like? What was their capacity level? And then what the general productivity was. So these six markers, they rate inside the app, and then they have questions like what were the three things that you said you were absolutely going to do last week? So the main effort and two supporting efforts. Did you do them? Yes or no? And then after that, it's like, hey, what worked, what didn't, what are we going to build upon next week? And then how can I as a coach best help you? And they'll put this into the app. And then they come back to me on a Monday or a Tuesday. My North American clients might do a Sunday evening with me to really get a kickstart to the week, because that's my Monday morning. And then we run through it, and I look at these markers that have come back. I can look at some sort of the historical tracking and see that their productivity is down, and that's because a couple of weeks ago their health, sleep, and fitness started falling off a little bit, or their routine started falling off. Delve into the questions of what of a particular objective that they didn't complete. It's like, well, there's been a lot of occasions that this third sort of supporting effort here, you haven't completed, and it was this particular task. And then we'll dive deep on it. It's like, okay, what is your block? Maybe they've found what the obstacle was in there, and then we're going to spend more time on that obstacle. So that's my way of sort of working with their productivity. That's the accountability side of it. And then, of course, we have habit trackers. We have actual productivity, what's called a positive productivity tracker, which is each day, if they want to do this daily. So the bare minimum is the weekly review, but some people want to track everything. And yes, if people track everything, they tend to fall off after a few weeks, particularly if they're doing the habits tracker, the weekly review and the productivity tracker. I normally only recommend we start with the weekly review and then we can add in one of the others. But my positive productivity tracker is one thing that we absolutely must do, two things that we need to do, one thing that we want to do, and one thing that we get to do. And that get to do one is sort of that positive affirmation, sort of thankful. Today I get to have dinner with the kids, or you know, it might be something like that. So it's a few different spins on things. Obviously standing on the shoulders of giants that have come before me, and I've just taken what seems to work and also what tends to resonate with my style, with my clients. I'm direct. I mean, these calls are only 15 minutes, our weekly review calls. So they are sharp. We jump straight in because we've got the app to see exactly where things are. And I call people out on their BS if they've got some crazy reasons they're having constant blocks or excuses or anything like that. And so that's the accountability slant on how we focus on productivity. And then they call me the productivity PT because I might crack the whip a little bit. And
this episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today.
Be like a personal trainer, I guess.
Well, there's commonalities there. Like my book that I, you know, is coming out. Well, actually it may even be out by the time you listen to this podcast, but the productivity diet, there is a correlation between, you know, the idea of what a diet is and what diet is. Mm. Right. And so people get really thrown when they, you know, the term diet, like, oh, it's crash. It's quick. It's like, no, a sustainable diet is like something that is a lifestyle, and productivity is essentially a lifestyle, yes. Right? Which is why, you know, life hacks, just like hacking things to death, or even to your point, quantifying every moment is not the idea here. It's not the end game. It's, and so there's elements for sure. Like, yes, you want to have, like, you want to make things a little bit simpler or easier, and that's where life hacks can help. But if you life hack too much, then, you know, you might be cutting without care. And the same thing with, you know, again, with when you look at this, just the misunderstanding of, I mean, when I look at personal training, for example, like when I've worked with a personal trainer, the first thing that they're not looking at how much I lift. They're looking at, like, is my form correct? Am I, you know, like, we're going to put you on machines first because you've got the support of the machines as opposed to free weights. Because, yes, free weights will help you, you know, faster. But if you have poor form, they will also injure you faster, right? And so there's a lot of commonalities there, which I'm sure you've been able to address and even notice. What was one that you've noticed that you're like, oh, there is – This means this when it comes to personal training, and this translates to productivity in this way.
Yes, certainly. However, that one there about the lifestyle and diets, absolutely love that you picked up on that, because that was a constant thing as a personal trainer that we're trying to work people towards. They've got like a beach body by summer, or they've got a wedding coming up or something like that. Yep. And we always hear about this yo-yo dieting and people sort of going on the diet for 8 weeks, they lose the weight and then they come off the diet and they bounce back plus
right.
a percentage as well, right? And when I started fasting, I've been fasting now for probably 15 years. I do a one that's kind of been colloquially called the 5-2, but it's not really that. But every Sunday for about 20 odd hours, and sometimes during the week, I'll fast. Now, people fast to lose weight. Mm-hmm. People fast to because it's a diet or something like that. And I said, no, it's absolutely got to be a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This is who I am now. This is a lifestyle. This is why I've been doing it for so long. How many diets do people stay on for 15 years? So yes, there's that diet versus lifestyle side is definitely a big part of it. And we try to make this productivity sort of stuff part of a lifestyle.
Yep.
They can't be doing this yo-yoing between one guru who says this, another guru who says that, and the third thing that pops out. And then we're always sort of chasing that shiny object and bouncing and doing yo-yo dieting on productivity and self-help. Because people are listening to all these things, they're listening to all these podcasts, all these audio books, and reading all the books, doing all the courses. They're not implementing because they're bouncing from one to the other. They're not implementing any of it. Any of the, was it 1.5 million books that are out there on this topic will probably help them.
Yeah.
If they just spend some time afterwards implementing it into their lifestyle and yep. not going on a diet while they're reading the book or doing the course and then yo-yoing back, and the whole productivity is falling in a hole. It's like they've put on a yo-yo diet weight again, plus a certain extra percentage of more unproductivity.
Well, and the clutter yeah. shows up, like you talk about the apps thing, like the leaving a litany of apps in their wake because they've tried everything and they're trying to find the perfect app, but there's no such thing. They're yeah. trying to find the perfect process. There's because nothing is static. Even again, back to personal training, like when I was doing some training and even when you like one of the things that they would add were dynamic elements. Like, okay, you've plateaued now. We need to mix things up because your body has gotten used to this and now we need to change it so that it goes, oh, this is different, and starts doing something. It's why cheat days exist too, right? Like the idea of a cheat day, right? Well, if you eat healthy all week long and you're like, great, keep eating healthy. Fasting is an element of that too, right? But it's like, you mm-hmm. know, Friday's cheat day. You can eat whatever you want. We're like, really? Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously. And the thing is I've noticed that when that happened, it's not so much that I will go and be a glutton and eat a lot of crap. I just won't be as deliberate about certain things. It's not like I'm going to go order a whole pizza and eat a whole pizza sitting down or whatever, or go like drink a 2-liter bottle of soda. But I'm not as there's less constraints around it. We need constraints, but it's fascinating that, again, people want results right away. And the tricky part, and this is what I was going to ask you about next, is the reflection piece. People don't take time for that reflection that they spend tons of time planning. They're willing to do that because it's yeah. forecasting. But when it comes to reflection, they're ready to move on to the next thing. And there's a lot of reasons behind that. But reflection needs to precede and follow every action for it to make sure that you're doing the right action. How do you, like the app obviously helps, but the resistance that people have to reflect, how have you dealt with that?
I have dealt with that because people are paying me for a quarter to have a call with me every single week.
Yeah.
And if they don't do the app, then we're going to go through the app and the call. And it's going to take 5 minutes out of their call
yeah.
or 7 minutes out of their call.
So you're hitting them
and
in the pocket.
And they're paying me good money to actually be there. And so that's the accountability side as well. They're like, oh, crikey. Not only is Ben going to have words with me, now we're going to take half of our call time. We're not going to be able to delve as deep into the obstacles. We've got to complete this. So that is one way that's been sort of built into the system, I guess, to help people with the reflection. But it's definitely tough. I mean, reflection hurts. You've got to look at your failures when you reflect. you've got to go, I didn't do as well as I thought I did. Mm-hmm. You've got to realize that, yeah, I went down that rabbit hole on YouTube again.
Yep.
Yeah, but, you've got to smack yourself for that.
But Ben, you know what happens though? And this is, I think, something that people need to recognize. The more you reflect, the less you focus on the bad and the more you focus on the good. But you have to get through the bad stuff first, because humans are predisposed to have negativity bias show up first and foremost. But you can't reflect past that if you only reflect in a very rudimentary and or non-consistent way. If the more it's why it's a practice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're reflecting more on the wins, you're stacking those wins together, but going down that Seinfeld method of like, let's stack the wins. That's the reason my business is called Win the Day. Mm-hmm. We talk about winning the week. We're trying to stack these consistent wins together. And you start to find that much easier when you're limiting the negatives, the downside, when you're focusing on those wins in that reflection. But yes, we certainly need to get through those, you know, the things that haven't been working so well for us, but then we turn that into a win because we're going to improve it the next week because we've just identified what it is that hasn't been working. We've named it. We've named that issue. And now when it starts coming up, you're automatically going, I see what you're doing here. I'm going down that path. I now need to go the other direction. You start to recognize that and then you can make the change.
And that's because we see patterns and humans love patterns just as much as they love the other stuff. Patterns are super helpful. And this gets into the idea of routine. When you're helping people build routine, I'm curious how that establishing of routine works, because again, people can over-engineer them. They can make them. I mean, I remember reading, and I talk about this when I talk about routine as well, especially because I'm a night owl. So we're going to close off with the whole night owl early bird thing because that's something I definitely want to touch on. But the idea of having an evening routine that is portable, making it bulletproof, which means you can't have like 12 steps in it either. How do you prevent people? I'm not going to ask how you necessarily like what goes into routine, but as a coach, how do you make sure that people don't either over-engineer or overwhelm themselves with the routines that they're building?
It's a real tough one, and it most of the time ends up trial by error.
Right.
So I can say as much as I like, let's keep this simple. Let's only stack a couple of habits together to make the routine. But many people want to start stacking 5, 6, 7 habits together, make the end of a routine. Let's do it in the morning. Let's do it at the close of work. Let's do it in the evening. And let's do it all over again the next day. And I think that is the biggest part of it, is that we've just got to start with a really simple habit. We start stacking them together to make a routine. Mm-hmm. But let's get that first habit at a good, consistent time. Let's make sure we can do that consistently for at least a couple of weeks. And it feels super slow and it doesn't feel massively productive and it's not going to change their lives. Although it can and it has done so.
Yeah,
but they just won't see it right away. They don't see that.
Yeah, it's not right away. Now, what's interesting is so let me follow up that with, how do you make sure that someone doesn't try to create the lack of distinction between a habit and a routine? Because that's happened to me before. Like, oh, well, my routine is habitual. I'm like, I get it. Like, I'm going to do a morning routine. I'm going to make a habit. I'm like, well, what's the habit that is the first step of the morning? Like, are you, oh, no, I'm just going to do my morning routine. I'm like they're putting the cart before the horse, right? So how do you keep them from putting the cart before the horse when it comes to, because you're right, routines are habits stacked upon one another. People tend to jump right to the routine, or worse, they don't have a routine at all. Like, evening routines are hilarious to me because they're like, I have a morning routine. Do you have an evening routine? Nah, I just go to bed. I'm like, okay, but I don't care whether you're a night owl or an early riser, having an evening routine is as, if not more important than your morning routine, because you set the table for the next day. So how do you keep them from, again, not over-engineering, but just saying, misrepresenting like the idea of a habit versus a routine so that they don't try to bite off more than they can chew?
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password.
Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah. The same thing as what I did when I was trying to get people to hit the gym regularly as a personal trainer. I worked out what they currently do. Do you currently like doing classes? Do you currently like running on the treadmill? Do you currently like bench press? Okay, we're going to start there. So what are their current habits? Do they do something regularly in the morning? Is it making that coffee? Okay, what can we now link with getting up, stumbling to the coffee machine and making yourself a coffee? Is that, do we link reading something positive, or do we link putting on their favorite podcast while they are making their coffee? How is that going to start their day right? Let's just maybe see what habits they've currently got. Let's try replacing one with another, if it's a negative one with a positive one, or let's try just stacking one habit to that. The moment we've stacked one habit to one thing they've currently got, that's not a bad habit necessarily, then we're starting to build that routine. You can do the same thing at night, but you know, a lot of people like to focus on morning routine. My big thing, and I'm probably segueing for you here, is the evening routine. Mm. That's my big one that I like to focus on as well.
So that is a nice segue because you were a night owl, right? You were a night owl and you shifted to mornings. Now, we're not going to get into a tete-a-tete about whether or not it should be something you do or not, because I know that that's something that you address. I am the thing that, you know, we circle back to the very thing I talked about off the top, like the thing that people misunderstand or misrepresent or they get wrong about productivity. And the thing that drives me nuts is people like night owls have this stigma attached to them, right? They're lazy. They procrastinate. There's a lot of studies that you never see about, you know, listening to your body clock as opposed to fighting it. You only see the whole like night owls get fat. Night owls are, you know, they're going to die earlier. It's that. So are left-handed people because the world's built for right-handed people, but that's not something we can necessarily change, right? Like that's, so I want to hear a little bit about the journey that you had to become an early riser. And I'm probably setting it up for you nicely here too. Do you believe that it is important for somebody to become an early riser if they are a night owl?
Well, first and foremost, no, I don't. I will absolutely advocate the benefits of getting up early. I see them. I like it because it's quiet time. Mm-hmm. I like being able to go down the road, drive the road to the gym, and the town's pretty much empty, and I can own the main street to the gym or something like that. But you can also get that But I've been staying up to 2 a.m. and in the gym at 2 a.m.
I was going to say, because night walks are pretty new. Moonlight walks, last night, we were talking about this. We walked home last night at 10 p.m. There was nobody around, and there's a solitude and serenity to the night as well. The difference is, it's again, the day versus the night. But keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and yeah, I love walking the dog at 10 p.m. at night. And it's also beautiful going out there really early in the morning. My journey was, I was a jazz musician. So I didn't start work till like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was a night owl. Prior to that, I used to love reading late at night. And I'd sneak the book under the covers with a torch, and I'd be reading to like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. Even today, if I'm still awake after 11 p.m., I get my second wind.
Yeah.
And I'm still ready to go then, and I can go hard until 2 a.m. So that second wind is still there. Mm-hmm. Now, whether I made the switch through necessity, whether it was the fact that I had 3 kids under 3, whether it was also the fact that I moved to Sweden and the time zones are completely different, maybe I just never got out of my jet lag for 10 years. maybe it was the fact that I started working as a personal trainer and you need to be at the gym by 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the fact that I was working night shift as a night guard for a hotel, and that was also completely messing up my circadian rhythms. Maybe it was actually the fact that I also started to study my circadian rhythms and really go deep on sleep because I wanted to understand, you know, why is it this night owl thing versus this morning, more early morning? I like to question these things that people always say, early bird gets the worm, stuff like that. The reason I started fasting was I wanted to question why we've always taught ourselves to have to eat 5 or 6 times a day. I just wanted to question it, so I'll experiment and test things on myself. Mm-hmm. The morning thing has absolutely been productive for me, but also because as my kids have got older, they were sleeping a little bit longer and I was able to get an hour to myself in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was super productive. Working as a tradie is often also restart quite early too. So that was a huge part of it. Yes, it was by necessity, but it's simply understanding my own sleep patterns and my own circadian rhythms that enables me to do that. Now, it's got nothing to do with I am a morning person now. I am still a night owl or anything like that. It's just understanding how my body is working, where I am I the most productive. Sometimes I have stayed up real late, not because I've had a deadline to reach, but because I was up to 11 o'clock and I'm feeling like this is a great quiet time now, and I know I can smash some things out.
Yeah.
Think about military stuff. You know, you might be up through crazy hours through the night. You might be up at 4 a.m. Things are always chopping and changing. I don't think we have to be set at any particular time. The first thing so many people have come to me because they know that I had a website, 5 a.m. club for a while and a few other things like that. Mm-hmm. And I talk about, people come to me and say, I want to be able to wake up earlier. The first thing I ask them is just why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to wake up earlier? Is it because you can't get enough done throughout the day because you're not being productive throughout the day? You feel you need to squeeze another 2 hours out because you go down rabbit holes during the day, you waste time on social media? Or why do you need to get up early?
Or worse, is it because you're reading that it's what you should do? Like, that's the biggest problem I have is, when I talk about being a night owl, it's not me saying, I have no intention ever of convincing someone to become a night owl. Like, that's not what I want. Like, I would never, but a lot of the literature out there, and we've talked about this with productivity, like, this is the way you should do it. This is the way it works. We get a lot of if you get up early, you're going to be more productive. That is not necessarily true. It might be. And you can test it. And this is exactly, I watched, I've mentioned this before. I think I mentioned this in the community. I haven't mentioned this on this podcast, but my son and I went and saw the movie Oppenheimer, the Christopher Nolan movie. And there's a bit in it where, and I didn't know a lot about Oppenheimer. I knew of him in passing, but there's a part where he goes and meets the people who actually build the stuff. So he's chatting with the character, and the guy who builds, like, you know, the missile, the bombs and all that stuff, he goes, hey, do you want to give us a hand? He goes, no, I don't build. I just give you the formulas. And so he's and then I'm like, oh, so he's a theoretical physicist, right? And I'm like, the more I thought about it, the reason I bring this up too is because you said it yourself, is a lot of the time what we're doing in the realm that we're in is we are testing theories. Like we're literally theorists when it comes to productiveness, when it comes to, you know, improving relations. Like, we will test them. We will see what works for most, you know, by testing it and giving to them. But to your point, and you do this literally with your clients. They have data. They have an app. You are saying, go do this. You get the data back and you go, well, this worked, this didn't, right? And then you refine you refine it. So a lot of this is theory put into practice, but theory change, like, it can change, right? Like, theory is evolving until it isn't. And in some instances, I'm sure there's stuff that stays exactly the same, but there's very few things that are static compared to dynamic. And when it comes to circadian rhythms, like you say, first off, we all know that circadian rhythms change over a lifetime anyway. As a night owl, I don't stay up till 3 a.m. naturally, 2 a.m. naturally anymore. I'm getting older, right? Also, night owl doesn't necessarily mean you stay up late. It could mean that you just hit your productive stride later in the day than others, right? So it's nuanced, and this all comes back to this, and this is why coaching can be super helpful, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the other sort of frameworks around that. I mean, I've been fortunate enough, I've been fortunate enough that my kids ended up being so used to me hitting the gym at 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. that they ended up joining me, my three teenagers, at the gym at 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That became part of our lifestyle. They just saw that, okay, that's just the lifestyle that we live. Mm-hmm. They're all active. They're all doing sports. It's the lifestyle that we live. And as a coach, we need to look at someone's lifestyle. We need to look at the fact is, hey, what's your relationship like at home? Would your wife prefer you to go to bed with her or to wake up with her in the morning?
Yeah.
Or both? Can you both sync up on that lifestyle? If you're continually going to bed at 2 a.m. and then you're sleeping in past the time that she wakes up continually, when are you guys actually going to have a chance to connect? Mm-hmm. So as a coach, we can also ask those questions about lifestyle and use our experience of things that we've seen and things that we've tried ourselves on how we can improve across the board.
You can
I think that's the important part of it.
Yeah, you can also do things like, and again, this is where we get outside the box. Like, there's another stigma with, like, my wife and I, we have a great relationship, but she know if I go to bed with her now, it feels weird, right? Like, for her, it's just like, and she likes the fact that we've already decided that once the kids are gone, separate bedrooms, right? Like, not that, and so there's an interesting phenomenon around that, because there's a lot of people say we would sleep much better if we had separate bedrooms, but as soon as you're societally saying, oh, my wife and I, we have separate beds. Oh, is there something going on? Like, what's the problem? So on and so forth. Because sleeping in the same bed is still a fairly new convention, right? Like, for the longest time, the reason that you would sleep in the same beds is because you couldn't afford a home that would have enough bedrooms for you, and so you would share a bed, right? And initially it was a sharing a room. We used to see this in the 50s on TV, I guess, which is like two separate beds, not in the same bed, two beds in the same bedroom, one bed for each person. So that's one of the things we've talked about. It's like, well, you know, when the kids are gone, I'll have my bedroom, you have yours. And, you know, when we want to connect in other ways, we'll have a sleepover. But, you know, at the end of the day, there are societal mores and social cultural things that affect the decisions we make. And it's really, this is where we've kind of alluded to, coaches can really help you with that because it helps you step back and think about it.
Yep.
Because when we're in the weeds, you can't, right? You just can't.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I talked about going up to the 30,000 foot and having that helicopter view or aeroplane view on their life, having that third party perspective. I often talk about a coach being like a helicopter pilot above a national park, and you as a client are walking through a path in the forest and you can't see which way is in, which way is out. You can't even see there's a beautiful waterfall down this particular path. You can't see that there's a cafe on this other path. And this other path here ends in a crevasse. But the helicopter pilot up there, they can see all these things and they can guide you through all those different directions. And that's probably one of the most powerful things that we can do as a coach. And as that third party, yes, we are invested. Of course, we're invested in our clients, but we're able to ask those tough questions. We're able to ask those clarifying questions and sort of act as that guide. And that's a really important part of it. And then we can help shape any of these routines, any of these habits, what they're looking to achieve with their productivity, rather than just bouncing from a course or a guru or what someone else does that they want to be like, and just bounce out and try and latch on it without going deeper and understand the reasons why behind it.
Ben, this has been a great conversation. As I mentioned off the top, we could probably keep going for a lot longer. Yeah. But in the interest of time and productivity, we'll wrap it up here. Where can people keep up with you and the work that you're doing?
Wintheday.com.au. That last .au will be for Australia. So wintheday.com.au. Find me on socials, Wintheday. Also, I've got some new ones popping up now, the Productivity PT or Productivity PT on socials. And I'll give you a special link if people want to learn a bit more about me. Maybe they'll want to check out my little ebook on goal setting, how I try to make stuff super simple, or just learn a bit more about how I operate as an accountability coach. I'll give you a link. It'll probably be something like Productive Conversation.
Yeah.
Wintheday.com.au.
And we'll put that in the show notes for people to be able to grab that. Hey, Ben, thanks so much for having a productive conversation with me today.
Hey, thank you very much. It's been fantastic.
Thanks to Ben for joining me on this episode of the podcast. You can find out all of the relevant show notes, including the link that he alluded to at the end of our conversation at productivityist.com/podcast510. That's 510. And if you want to, you can also just check out the links that are in the podcast app that you're holding right now, or maybe not holding, but it could be off in the corner, anywhere you get your podcast. And while you're anywhere you can get your podcast, subscribe to the show. That way you don't miss a single episode of what's to come and can easily get through the archives of the over 500 episodes of the program, including guests James Clear, David Allen, Chris Bailey, John Acuff, so many more that you can go back and find as quickly and easily as a subscriber. Another way to support the show, of course, is to check out our sponsors, the ones you heard during the conversation today. Just head to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors to check them out and then use the links there so that way they know that we sent you. That's it for this episode, this time around here on A Productive Conversation. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.